Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am so deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this 21st day of September 2019. We're going to look at love. Oh, tough subject, a really tough subject. I get a load of questions about love from a lot of you, and I want to thank you for even considering me. So we're going to talk about love today and hopefully be able to, I don't know. Do we ever really clarify anything? Really? Most people have already come to the conclusions about their life, that their life is how they see it. So maybe what I will do is plant a few seeds for another existence, another life, maybe so. I want to remind you that this radio program is here solely and entirely based on your tax-deductible gift, your donations. We're in our year-end fundraising drive. It began last week, and we need your support to continue Aspire. We're very, very grateful for the beautiful gifts that have come in, and we need many more to be able to sustain our radio, TV, and all of my efforts at hospice, and now with the BATMO project with children. So if you are listening to this radio program and want to help, consider the idea of becoming a sponsor. That would be a huge help. Our mystery donor, who is a very, very nice man, will match your donation dollar for dollar. If you become a monthly or a quarterly donor, he will match it. And I am very, very happy about that. If you go to the website at aspire.org, there's a wonderful little story about Easy. And I think you'll enjoy it. Every year I do a year-end story about some Zen idea or ideal, spiritual ideal that has to do with us, all of us, one way or another. And then there is my little chat with you. I think you'll find it interesting from a man who sent me an email who never gave a single penny to Aspire, listened to it evidently for years. He said he was a follower, never knew he was there. And well, you got to read it. You got to hear it to see it, and to understand it, and to really be amazed by it. At least I was. So go on ahead. I get a lot of emails about, why should I support this and everything? And I hear that all the time. I mean, more than compassion or love, I hear, why shouldn't I? And this is what I can't. I don't want to do. I can't afford it. And all these things. Everybody can afford. Everybody can afford what they really want to give or to afford. They do. I've seen people who had little or no money go to Hawaii. I know people who say they have no money and have a ton of money. People lie to me constantly. You have to understand that. Constant lying. And they lie more about money than anything else. Well, we'll get into that some other time. But there you are. Become a sponsor. Help us make a difference in this world, as I am making a difference in people's lives through hospice and our BATMO project and everything that I do to serve humankind, making a difference in your life by listening to this radio program. Huh? Love. What is love? Okay. The first question comes from Carol. She does not tell me where she lives. She said, what is love if not emotion, Greg? Now, this is all coming out of and stemming out of TV programs that I've done. And she watches all of them. And I'm grateful that she does. And you want to know if she's a sponsor, of course, don't you? No. But anyway, here is my answer to that, Carol, and you really got to hear this. I know that you think you know what love is based on what you said in your email, that you know what love is and you are only loving and all of that stuff. Boy, we use love as an excuse, as an alibi for a lot of things. And that's one of the big problems with the way we think, the way we live. Let me read to you some definitions of the word love. And intense feeling of deep affection, a deep romantic or sexual attachment, a great interest and pleasure in something, affectionate greetings conveyed to someone. Basically, this feeling that we never question comes from my DNA and my genetics, both of them. I love anything, my DNA, that helps me survive or helps me feel like I'm surviving or I'm doing well. My genetics define that love. So as things go on in my life, people, all sorts of anomalies of situations that are difficult, I start to really start to think about the idea that love has to do with emotionality. My emotions are directly linked to my DNA that only and purely wants to survive at all costs. Now, that's something you must understand. DNA only is about survival. So when my emotions pop up, they're telling me a couple of things. One, there's danger. Emotions are good to show me the danger of a situation around me. So the emotions that Greg Penn feels when he is afraid is the same emotions he's feeling when he thinks he loves. Now, when he is alerted to a fact that there might be danger out there, he gets afraid. His emotions, same thing. My emotions will get all sorts of, you know, sensations, vibrations, send messages, you know, 911, 911, 911. There's an enemy, there's a problem, there's going, somebody's going to hurt you thing. And then my genetics kick in and say, oh, no, you don't. And then the cunningness and the lying and all the other crap and crudola comes up in us, and we start scheming and taunting and, oh, strategizing how we're going to avoid all of this. And we just keep this going and going and going. We never stop it. And when something threatens my lifestyle, or even can threaten my philosophy about my life, then, there is going to be anger and fear. All of that is wrapped up in the same emotion as love. So when you find out, let's just say you think you have an enemy, someone who doesn't like you, someone who is trying to hurt you, and you begin to retaliate, and they say, oh, no, 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 I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. And you know they're lying, but you know, they go, no, 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 because you're stronger than they are, or you have a better argument than they do. Then all of a sudden, you love them, or you like them. Now they're a totally different person. And let's say they do things for you that prove to you that they are loving you or competent to you or compassionate to you. Oh, all of a sudden, now you really love them. That's love. It's hate and affection. It's an affection for survival. Your emotions are very important to your human instincts. And you have to understand they are very primal and they're primitive. And they do a lot of damage in our lives, a lot of damage. So when you are driving, your emotions can warn you that there's danger. And if there is danger, your emotions kick in and you slam on the brakes or whatever you do. It's all emotional. It's reactionary. It's biological. It's chemistry. Don't try to romance it. Don't try to religify it or spiritualize it. Emotions are not love. We think they're love, but they're not. And when you really get down to the nitty-gritty, when you and I think we're in love with someone, it is only the idea that they might be able to save us, help us, give us a happy life, give us what we want, then we love them. But if someone comes into your life, let's say a Buddha, a Jesus, a Lao Tzu, and they come into your life and they say, this is not the way. Jesus never got married. Buddha, he had many wives when he was Siddhartha, and then that all dropped. And then what was left? They weren't interested in their body's pleasure or their body's survival. They were interested in the awakening, the spiritual awakening that occurs within any one of us at any given time. Love is not an emotion. Love is a state of being. It sits as the presence of our life in the midst of our body, our genetics, our DNA. And it is something that you transcend into. It transforms ideas, ideals, states of being. It transforms everything. It is not some intense emotional feeling. It goes beyond all of that. And a person who is responsible understands the instincts of their body over the presence of their spirit. And they do not engage in the instincts of their body that usually takes great precedence over the spirituality of a person, the great love that lives within you. You put love first, not pride. Love first, not hate. Love first, rather than withholding, you give. It looks like suicide to the emotions. And that's why very few people are much interested in love, because it looks like suicide. So there you are. There you are, Carol. There's the vast difference. And I hope in some way I was able to key in. You're not going to change. I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to say this to all of you. Unless you are deeply serious about an authentic spiritual practice and you really want to get into the meaning and the substance of your life, you're not going to do any of the things or believe any of the things or comprehend the value of the things I am talking about. You just don't have the mechanism for it, because you have given yourself over to the body. And when you give yourself over to the body, it's merely survival. And that's all it is. And that's what people do. They give themselves over to their genetics, all those people that live inside them. Lifetime after lifetime, generation after generations that live in your body, in your cellular nature. And that's all you do, is give yourself over to that. And what is left? Nothing. Just saying it. You all need to forgive me, eh? Namaste. Okay, the next question comes from Ken. If love is not emotion, as you say, what are emotions in proportion to my desires? Your desires are your emotions. People have desires for many things, but they're all emotional. You want to be rich. You want health. You want, what is it people want? Happiness, things like that. You think money will make you happy. You think you're getting good health will make you happy. I was at hospice the other day, and I do this with certain people, not all people. You can't do one thing with everybody like this. It takes a certain kind of person to be able to hear this. And this woman was talking to me about her life, and I asked her, she was saying, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. And, you know, there you are. And she said, I want God to spare me. And I said to her, tell me, why should God spare you? And she looked at me and she goes, I want it. I just want it. If she said, I would like, you know, to make amends for the rest of my life, of what I did in my life. And she said, I'll do anything. She thought I was a conduit to God and that I would relay that message and God would give her life back to her. What would you do? I mean, when you look at your life, what constitutes the reason for your existence? Why should you be spared? What have you done? When you could have given, you didn't. When you could have forgiven, you wouldn't. When you had a chance to do something beyond the confines of your human body, like give, forgive, compassion, you didn't. You sought revenge when you thought revenge was necessary and you sterilized it in your emotions and in your mind and synthesized a alibi for being mean and cruel, nasty. When did you ever really reconcile anything in your life within yourself or with another person? Take your worst enemy. Did you ever reconcile with them? Did you ever say you were sorry? Maybe you think you had just means for whatever you thought you did that was appropriate, like trying to hurt another person because they hurt you. Or maybe there was jealousy and pride involved in it. What did you do to change anything about yourself? What did you do to help another person? How did that all work for you? Were you kind? Were you compassionate? Were you loving? Were you forgiving? Were you generous, especially to your enemy? I don't think so. I don't know many people. I don't know if I know anyone who has ever really done that. It's very, very painful. When you look at your life, you look over your life and you see all the crappy things you've done, all the intense anger and fear and hate, all justified and wrapped up in the alibi, well, he or she deserved it. Really? He or she deserved, they deserve the wrath of our hate, our anger, our fear. And then you want love, you want mercy given to you. Buddha said it best. See how you love and what keeps you from the journey. This is not an intellectual effort we are in, this thing called our life. It isn't about gaining some kind of pleasure over pain, some kind of gratification. This is about a process. My life, your life. It is a spiritual process. And all of the ambition and pride and vanity that we can muster up to try to do things that we think are appropriate for alignment of our ego and not the alignment of getting into our heart seems relative to us logical. Love is illogical. Totally illogical. It is not something you can grasp with your mind. It's something that lives beyond your biological heart. When people say they feel their heart, they're only feeling their genetics. The fear, the pounding fear of their DNA, pulsing in them saying, survive, survive, survive at all costs. That's really all you're feeling. And if you take your cues from your physical body, and then you just lose it all. You lose the meaning of your life. It isn't your physical body that is going to give you the awakening you think you have or deserve or whatever. Most people aren't interested in spiritual awakening. Not at all. They're interested in survival. And if something spiritual can come along and help them survive, they'll take it. Tell me what to say. Tell me what to do. That's as far as it usually goes. That's as far as it usually goes. And then you see this world the way it is, how it is. And you got to ask yourself, am I a part of this sham, this drudgery of living in a world where the only thing that matters is what I get, what I can have, what I can hold? That's the only thing I get. That's the only thing that matters. It's only that. Really? How far will you go to love, to give, and to forgive? What defines you as a man or a woman? What defines you? If someone were to come along and say, tell me, what defines your life? What defines you? Would you go into the litany of how many babies you've brought into this world? How much money you've made? What your reputation is with friends and family and coworkers? Is that as far as it goes? Your moral instincts? For the most part, yeah. That's as far as it goes. Did you ever achieve love? That's the big question. Did you ever achieve love? And how would you know? Because it's a journey that the human mind cannot take, the human body cannot endure. It's of a quality of inexplicable. It is a quality of the inexplicable. And most people can't take it because it requires silence. It is only in silence that you find the way. And people, who wants to sit in silence? Who wants to sit in the vibration of a great love that lives within and around us all? We're drowning in it, believe it or not. And we sit in it through our silence. What if you spent a great effort in being quiet and silent? What would happen? Do you have that kind of innate ability? Yes. But have you lost it to your body and the whims of your body? Your obsession with the body? Yes. And that's the issue. We go too far. Too far with the body. And we allow the mind to take us down paths that are absolutely ridiculous. See how you love and what keeps you from the journey. That's the key here. And if you can understand that, if you can grasp the meaning of that, if you can devote your life to that, then you have something unique. So there you are. I hope it helps. For the most part, we can't hear talks like this. Our minds are too busy being contrary. And people are contrary to love. Violence, yes. Hate, yes. Vengeance, yes. Love, are you kidding? So the best thing for any of us to do, any of us, is to see how we love and what does keep us from the journey. Thank you for your beautiful question. Thank you for listening. I'm out of here. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. I hope you will join us. Make a donation to keep us on the air. Our mystery donor is being very generous this year. So He'll match it. Be kind. Be loving. Do something way out of the box. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.